So the title of the message this morning is a question, and that question is, do what to my enemies? And this is based on the fact that Jesus told his disciples to love your enemies, and it's one of the things he told his disciples to teach other disciples. He said, go and teach them all the things I've commanded. So today we're going to talk about that, and I want to tell you, this would be considered probably one of the hardest things about being a Christian, because in order to do this, you got to get you completely out of the way. And we don't like to be completely out of the way. We like to have some measure of control, because that makes us, you know, that makes us feel at least a little bit empowered. And that's why people hold grudges and all of that kind of thing. So this is not, look, and what I'm telling you is, this is not natural. This is supernatural. I say it all the time. This is not just difficult. This is impossible without the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says some things that simply make you say, do what? Why don't you go ahead and practice that? Say it together. Say, do what? So we got a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to get right to it. But again, I'm not going to get very far today, and we'll come back to it next week. And I said, as I was going through these, I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to rush. I think sometimes I feel like I'm just machine gunning stuff out there. Listen to what Jesus said about our enemies. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. He said, but to you who are listening, I say... Now, notice what he says right off the bat. He says, to you who are listening. Is anybody listening this morning? Yes. To you who are listening. Now, why did he have to say that? Because I'm sure there were lots of people who heard him saying something, but they weren't listening. Jesus said in the book of Revelation several times, he says, to him who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He's talking about listening with a spiritual ear, not just letting it go into your head and be processed by your brain. He says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Now, he's speaking this to a culture of people who have been so oppressed and so taken advantage of and so ripped off for years and years now by the Romans. And they hated the Romans, and they didn't have a problem telling you they hated the Romans. And he's saying, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. It's hard to even get through this without saying, do what? Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And I'm telling you, that is so convicting. That is so convicting. Because we're not supposed to live like sinners. We're no longer sinners. We used to be sinners. We're saved by grace now. And so we shouldn't be living like sinners. Well, he says, even sinners do that. Verse 33, and if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. How many of you know we have a general rule in life? We do good to those who do good to us, right? We do good to those who do good to us, but we don't necessarily do good to those who don't do good to us, especially those that just not only don't do good, but do bad, right? He says, even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Now, you know, I'm going to just tell you, that's not easy to do. In fact, it's impossible to do unless it's the Holy Spirit leading you. Now, look, I mean, I hadn't even got to the end of this yet, and I can tell you already, I'm wishing Jesus would have left this out. You know, I wish he'd have just left all this stuff out, because Jesus, somebody might hear you and then they're going to try to take advantage of me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, but then he says, but love your enemies, do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And remember, the scripture says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, right? So if you're not expecting to get it back from them, understand the Lord will make sure you get it back. Now understand, That doesn't mean that people shouldn't pay their bills, that people shouldn't pay you back when you lend it. But you got to get your heart set in place to where if they choose not to, you're not going to let hate take over. You're not going to let hardness of heart take over. You're not going to let a victim mentality take over. Should they pay you back? Yes, they should. But ultimately, it all belongs to God. So if they're stealing from you, they're really stealing from Him, right? So, but notice what he says. He says, then your reward will be great. In other words, God says, I'll take care of that, and I can take care of it a whole lot better than they can take care of it. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, let me back up here just for a moment, back to verse 35 there, where it says, because He's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Just in case somebody starts getting an idea that, you know, I can borrow money and I don't have to pay it back. I can run up bills and I don't have to pay it back. Even Jesus said that. But notice what He says. People who do that are ungrateful and wicked. He says He's merciful to them, but they're ungrateful and they're wicked. He's kind to them, but they're ungrateful and wicked. And so, of course, this is not an excuse for people to take advantage of other people. But how many of you know the reality is sometimes people will take advantage of you. Sometimes people will rip you off. Sometimes people will treat you wrong. And understand, in the context of, you know, where we live, God does raise up authorities to deal with those things. Okay, He does. In the natural realm. It doesn't mean that you should never, ever, you know, go to the police if somebody has, you know, robbed your house or something like that. That's not what He's talking about. But what He's really talking about, just like the last time, He's talking about heart issues, our heart issues, keeping our heart clear, and trust that He'll take care of all of that. Okay? But be merciful just as your Father is merciful. How many of you glad that the Father was merciful to you? I'm glad He's merciful to me. There's not a single one of us in this room who didn't absolutely need His mercy, because every one of us, I don't care how good we grew up, every one of us were jacked up in some kind of way. So we should probably begin with a definition of what do we mean by enemy? What does that mean? Well, Jesus really kind of defines that for us. Jesus gets us started in verse 27. And every time it says enemy, understand what this really means is we could put in the place of enemy, person you're supposed to love. So when He defined an enemy, He defines it as someone who hates you. So that person I'm supposed to love is someone who hates me. And regardless about how you feel about them, if they hate you, they have made themselves your enemy, whether you wanted them to be or not. And so in verse 28, He goes on and He expounded on the word enemy to include those who mistreat you. So, you know, I don't mind if they hate me from afar, but they better not get in my face and curse me and mistreat me, right? I mean, I'm just saying that's just a natural response, right? And so He's saying, okay, love even the ones who do that, all right? And then people who use their words and their actions to hurt you, Jesus says they're enemies. Those are the ones I'm talking about. In verse 29, He says an enemy is someone who uses violence against you or steals from you. And they don't respect you and they don't respect your property. Has anybody ever been stolen from? Raise your hand if you've ever been stolen from. Somebody stole from you. They thieved from you. Maybe they broke into your car or broke into your house. I mean, Micah just told us the other day, so y'all remember, somebody stole his truck. Well, somebody broke into his truck the other day and stole some money. Thankfully, that's all they got was a little bit of money, but stole his truck. I mean, y'all remember, we prayed about that. I felt so sorry for Micah, you know, but they stole his truck. I want to tell you, as his daddy, I had a hard time praying for that person to be blessed. I did. So when you get stolen from, there's one word that always comes to mind to me. And it's the word violated. You just feel violated when somebody steals from you, especially if they break into private property and steal. So, you know, I've heard many people say, man, nobody likes a thief. You know, everybody hates a thief. In Matthew's account, he talks about those who persecute you for living right. Not because you've done something wrong, but because you've done something right. They persecute you for loving them. How many of you know Jesus was persecuted for loving people? The very people He came to love and to set free killed Him. So these are the people Jesus is talking about. we have our list of people that we write off as unlovable many times. And I'm talking about, again, in the natural. I'm talking about the natural mindset because of what we are taught in this world and how things go. So we have a certain list that, you know, they're just written off as unlovable. And then thank God that he didn't put us on that list. And he didn't put us as unlovable. But he never changed his mind about loving us. You know, in Matthew's account, he talks about those who persecute you. And there's no reason you can justify when you're persecuted for doing righteous. There's no reason you can justify in your mind as why these people are doing what they're doing. You know, what did I do? Well, you did nothing wrong, but they're still persecuting you. And Jesus says, those are the ones I'm talking about. So an enemy is anyone who hates you and treats you accordingly. So listen, that can be somebody in your own house. That can be somebody who used to be in your house. That could be somebody, that could be a stranger, a total stranger in traffic. Can I get an amen? Yeah. That could be a rude customer in a store or a business that you might work in. It could be a rude cashier or a clerk somewhere in a place where you shop. It could be a neighbor who's real hard to live by. You know what I'm talking about? They always throw in the grass clippings in your yard. They let their dog run around, poop in your yard. Y'all know what I'm talking about, some of y'all. Sometimes, you know, they're nosy, so on and so forth. So it could be all of these people. Let me give you a few more. It could be your ex-spouse. It could be your ex-spouse's new spouse. It could be parents. It could be children. It could be siblings in a family with a long history of acting ugly. It could be all of those things. It could be a boss who just mistreated you. A teacher who seemed to have it in for you. It could be a coworker who undermines you or takes advantage of you or maybe even takes credit for something you did. It could be those that were maybe in a relationship and a spouse was unfaithful. It could be that other man or that other woman. It could be the person who stole your childhood through abuse or neglect. Now, I know this is getting deep, a little bit heavy, but I want you to understand that no matter what was done to you, God never authorized you to live as a victim or to have hate in your heart. And it doesn't seem fair because they deserve to be hated. I'm talking about in the natural mindset. They deserve bad coming to them for what they did. And Jesus knew that if I'm going to make these disciples and I'm going to teach them how to actually do kingdom work, then I'm going to have to help them to come to true repentance where they're not carrying all this baggage with them that's going to keep them from fulfilling the commission I've placed on their life. It's the only way he could do it. Because let me tell you, there's no way in the world that those disciples could have gone to their death for the sake of Jesus unless they'd already died to self. And that's what this is really about. It's denying yourself, disowning yourself, taking up your cross and following him. And again, most Americans aren't interested in this kind of Christianity. They're interested in American Christianity. They're interested in the kind of Christianity that only makes them feel good, that only causes their life to be better than it was before. That's the kind of Christianity most people want. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to die to yourself. Now, God does bless and God does prosper and God does all of those wonderful things he does. But first, listen, understand, Peter couldn't have walked through the streets with a shadow healing people if Peter hadn't been willing to die to himself. So again, do we really want what Jesus came to bring us? Because ultimately, what really matters is what's going to happen when it's all said and done, when it's all wrapped up. And so again, the enemy is one who has hurt you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, maybe even financially. Again, someone who stole from you or someone who refuses to pay you what they owe you. We all have people who have done those things to us. I remember years ago when I really first learned this lesson, I had a old 12-string guitar. I love that old guitar. Mom and Dad would remember that. The old Applause 12-string guitar. And when I was in San Antonio in college, I had gone street witnessing and I witnessed to this guy and we became somewhat friends and tried to draw him closer. He, you know, led him to the Lord and that kind of thing. And we played the guitar and I loaned him my 12-string guitar and I never got it back. I wasn't praying for God to bless that man. But I had to learn. That's where I learned where this principle of in your own heart, yeah, they may bring it back. They may give it back. They may pay it back. They may, but in your own heart, you better release it. Because if you don't release them from that, then God can't release us from what we owe Him. Now, God can bring it all back around. I'll tell you, I've been blessed many times over. In fact, I don't even know how many guitars I have, honestly. And I don't even play them anymore. But over the years, God has blessed me greatly with that. I've passed them down to my kids and so on and so forth. I didn't do without, including a 12-string. In fact, many years ago, someone bought me a brand spanking new, beautiful 12-string guitar. They didn't even know about this. They just said, God told me to buy this for you. And it's a beautiful guitar, much more valuable than the one that was taken. My point is simply this, that all of us have been taken advantage of. All of us have been treated wrongly. All of us have enemies in our life who have treated us with some kind of hate. And so the things that Jesus is dealing with here for his disciples is he says, I know in order for you to be who I'm calling you to be, you have got to learn this. You have got to come to repentance. And I can imagine Jesus saying, I know none of this is going to make sense to you guys, but this is the way you're going to have to think if you're going to be my disciple. And so the number one main point, and again, we're not going to be long here, but number one, the first point is just Jesus said to love your enemies, to love your enemies. Jesus said to love your enemies. And how many of you know that love is not just something I say? Love is always accompanied with action. Love is not a feeling I have. Love is a choice I make. So there have been times when, you know, somebody did me junkyard dog dirty wrong. I think that's the way you say it. But they've done me wrong, and I didn't have the feeling. I didn't feel like I loved them. That's why couples get in trouble all the time in their marriages. They say, well, I fell out of love. No, you didn't. You just chose not to love them anymore. No such thing as falling out of love. It's a choice we make. That's why so many marriages are destroyed. But here's the thing. I don't feel like and didn't feel like and have never felt like loving a person who's done me wrong. But when I make the choice to love them based on the fact that God loves them, all of a sudden, eventually, and sometimes it takes a little longer than others, the feelings actually do come. They follow. But I have to make the choice first. And then what happens is God begins to allow me to feel His heart for that person. Because, yeah, they did you wrong, but I shed my blood for them. They did you wrong, but it cost me everything to try to reach them, and you're the guy I put in the place to reach them. So again, he said, love your enemies. That's the way the kingdom works. Because everybody in the entire world was an enemy to God. So when Jesus talks to us about how to love our enemies, how many of you know you ought to believe what he says and you ought to be willing to listen to what he says? So once you hear what Jesus has to say, here's the thing. Again, if you're like me, I'm pretty sure your brain's first reaction is anything but, oh yeah, that's easy to do. So Jesus says, you know, that's just, it's not natural. So these questions, all these things that he's saying here, love your enemies, do good to them, speak well of them. The last thing I want to do is speak well of them. Show kindness to them. Well, they didn't show kindness to me. And then this one, give to them. Give to them. Well, Lord, they've already taken from me. And now you're telling me to give to them? Now, again, keep in mind, I'm not saying that God says it's okay for people to take advantage of His people. He says that they're wicked and ungrateful. But we got to keep our heart clear. You know, if I'm going to give them something, I want to give them what I want to give them. Like a black eye, a broken tooth, you know, something like that, right? Because that's what they deserve, right? So, and look, the one I want to give the black eye and a broken tooth to, that's just the guy who's in the 20 item or less lane, and he's got 25 in his basket, right? That's the guy who took the parking spot right up front that I was about to pull into, but he came up the wrong way and took it. He couldn't even park in there. He just turned in there where he couldn't even get his car in there and just looked at me like, what you gonna do? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been to Walmart? Listen, in all seriousness, for some of you, Maybe it's people who were supposed to guard your innocence and instead they took it. Maybe it's people who were supposed to be your protectors, but instead they became predators. Now, I'm not suggesting you go just hang out with people like that, but I'm saying you better get your heart clear and you better ask the Lord what He wants you to do about this situation. And God may tell you to somehow bless them. And in the natural, you're not going to want to do it. Jesus is here telling you to love your enemy. You know, my brain says, you got to be kidding me, Jesus. Those disciples had to think, you got to be kidding me. It's like when I think Brother Mike mentioned it the other day, and I'll talk about this at a later teaching, but where Jesus is talking about forgiving people, and it's the only time where the disciples said, God, give us more faith. Jesus, give us more faith. You're telling us that I have to forgive them 70 times 7? Give us more faith. We don't have the faith for that, right? So none of that makes any sense. And so let's be sure that we understand what Jesus is and is not commanding us. But I want to tell you again, it'd be so much easier, instead of teaching this stuff, it'd be so much easier for me to just stand up here and talk about how God wants to bless you and how God wants to make you rich and how God wants to do this and do that. And it would be so much easier to do that. It would be so much easier for me to stand up in this pulpit and tell people how wonderful they are and brag on people's gifts and just let them display their gifts so that people can give them praise all the time, like many, many places do. But that's not what we're about, because we're not about trying to help people feel better about themselves. We're about helping people become more like Jesus so that they begin to feel what He feels. But this morning, you know, I just want to do this, being that we kind of, you know, it's sometimes you can open up a can of worms, you know how they say? Sometimes you can open something up, and I don't want to leave anybody wounded this morning, because we've brought up things about how people treated you and how people have been an enemy and how they've hurt, and sometimes that can kind of rip a wound open, but I just don't want you to leave with an open wound. And I just want to pray for God for His healing for you. If you're in this room and you feel that way, you're in a place where, you know, you still got some hurts down there somewhere along the line, could be all the way back from when you were a little kid, it doesn't matter. But somebody has taken advantage of you. Somebody has been your enemy. Somebody has wronged you in some kind of way. And what you'll find out is if you keep that victim mentality, it will literally stop the flow of worship in your life. That's why God tells husbands and wives, he says, make sure that you don't let the sun go down on your wrath or on your anger. You know, make things right. Why? Because the Bible tells us that if a husband and wife are not in unity in the things of God, if they're not in unity, their prayers are hindered. So, of course, that's not what the Lord wants for any of us. So if you've got hurt, it could be somebody in your family or whatever. But you say, I just want to be cleared of anything and everything that would stop the flow of anointing or stop the flow of worship in my life. And I just want to let that go. We're going to start this off dealing with this subject. We're going to start this off by just saying, God, clean me of all of this stuff. You know, for some of you, the things that maybe you came carrying in this room was stuff that could be resentments, grudges, things like that, that are weighing you down. Why don't we just go ahead and give that to the Lord? So just lift your hands to the Lord, and I'm just going to pray over you. So I just want to pray for you this morning. And, you know, we kind of, again, dealt with this last couple of weeks, last couple of Sundays. But I just feel like somebody in this room needs to be free from that. You know, now, Brother Mike said earlier, he said, you know, I just feel like some people walked into this room and you're carrying some stuff with you that God doesn't intend for you to have. You're carrying some stuff with you that He didn't put on you, and you need to be free of it. Let's just go ahead and get free. But right now, let's just go ahead and just lift your hands to the Lord. If you need this, if you need some kind of healing in some way, let's just bring this before the Lord. Father, I thank You, God. The kind of healing we're talking about this morning is not just a physical healing in our bodies. Lord, You took care of that. But God, there's some people in here that have got some deep hurts. There's deep, deep disappointment in some people. There's some deep things that have actually shaped their way of thinking. Lord, shaped the way they have relationships with people. And Father, any of that stuff that the enemy has put on them right now, we release them from it by your authority, by the authority of the name of Jesus. God, those that have felt betrayed, those that have felt taken advantage of, God, those who have been hurt in various ways, Lord, all the way back, Father, all the way back to the time they were a child, I thank you for rooting that stuff out of their life today. I thank you for bringing healing like only you can, Father. I pray for a supernatural peace and a supernatural comfort to come into their heart to replace that which used to be nothing but dread. Lord, we know that it's not your will for your children to live as victims or to live as those, Lord, who cannot let your love flow through them. But I thank you for unstopping that thing today. Lord, causing everything that would keep your love from flowing through in a pure way, Father. I thank you for removing that from their lives. Now you have to yield it to them. You yield it to them. So God, I let it go. I give it up. I let it go. And Father, I thank you for filling every void, everything, God, that has been swept away or removed. I thank you for filling that void with your presence, with your peace, with your joy. Thank you, Father, with your power, with your desire, with your vision. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I pray next week as we get into the rest of this word, God, that there will be great deliverance among people who need it. And we give you praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout amen.